Thank you for being here this morning and for us to be able to take this time and to acknowledge the true reason of why we are here, to celebrate and to honor the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is my favorite time of the year and my favorite time to say Merry Christmas to each and every single one of you. This is a glorious time, and I want to invite you back tonight. You got just a taste of what's going to happen through this worship service, but tonight you're going to be in awe. It is just an unbelievable experience, and so I would hope that you could come back tonight at 5 o'clock. You may want to be here about 4:45, a little early to grab you a seat. I do believe and I pray it will be packed. As people come and to get into the Christmas spirit and to be able to just come into fellowship and to connect with just God. And that's what we want to do, not only right now at this time, but we want to do this tonight as an extension of Christmas. Over the past 2 weeks, I have shared the truth about Christmas through prophecy. And there are dozens of prophecy that was actually foretold about the coming of Jesus Christ. And several weeks ago, I talked about that Jesus' identity was validated through the scriptures. What was said in the Old Testament was validated through the New Testament, through the fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus Christ did. And then I shared with you that Jesus' identity was validated by his miraculous and supernatural birth. It was definitely one of a kind. There's never been a birth like this, and there never will be a birth and a supernatural birth like this. Matter of fact, when you look at scriptures, as you go ahead and open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, you will notice that in the first part of it, that she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that was in Mary, that was in the people during the biblical days, is the same Holy Spirit that is working through our lives for those who have received Him as Lord and Savior. Please never forget that the same power of the Holy Spirit is still majestic, it's still miraculous, it's still supernatural, and it's still alive and willing to work in each and every one of our lives today. The things that we read about 2,000 years ago and 3,000 years ago is still evident today in our lives as well, for those who have Christ in their life. But there's one more thing I want to share as I end this series on the truth about Christmas through prophecy. Why did He come to this world? Did you know that Jesus Christ is the only one that actually chose to be born? That is so awesome. Did you press and hold? Don't be embarrassed. It's, trust me, if it was going to happen, it would actually happen to me. But why did He come to this world? Why did He come to this world? Jesus is the only one who chose to be born. I still remember as a child, and maybe some of you might have actually experienced this or said this. I still remember when I would get in trouble every once in a while at home, and it happened from time to time. And when the time did happen, I would use this as my defense. I didn't choose to be born. You chose to have me. If it wasn't my...
We really
This message is going to be over quicker than than we all want. But I would use that as my defense. I didn't choose to be born. I didn't choose to, you know, that. And by the way, that's not a good defense. But when you think about Jesus Christ, he chose from the foundation of the earth. He was sitting there with God Almighty, the triune, the Trinity, all together, and realized that there was a situation that was going on in earth, and there was rebellion, and that there was mistakes, and there was going astray, and there was hidden, and there was shame, and there was guilt. And as Jesus Christ watched this from the foundations, from when he watched this from heaven, I can only imagine that he would look at his father, and his father looked at him, and he said, I need to come down to save the world, to build this relationship back the way that you intended it to be, Father. It's an amazing, amazing gift. What a choice. What a gift that was. The greatest gift that we could ever, ever receive is receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the fact that he, every single day, places that gift right before our feet to open it up and to experience this unconditional love and to open up this unconditional grace. No matter where we are in our life, the times that we feel like there's no way, God, that you could forgive me for this one. And Jesus looks at his father and his father looks at him and they smile at each other and said, you remember, I came for you. I am the gift for you. I never want you to experience that shame and guilt. I am your gift. And so the third identity that we see from Jesus was validated by two victorious names. Two victorious names as we continue on in Matthew and we look to see what all the different prophecy that was fulfilled and the things that we need to know. The third one was Jesus' identity was validated by his two victorious names. Now, when you think about Jesus Christ and when you think about God the Father and you pray, what names do you use? We were already talking out loud. Let's continue. Go ahead, yell out some. What are some of the names that you use when you pray to God?
Father.
Lord. Abba. Awesome. All these amazing names. And by the way, over Christmas break, there's about 950 more that you can learn. 950 names to show the attributes of who Jesus Christ is and to call him by all these different names. And have you noticed that some of the names that you call Jesus and God changes depending on how you're living your life? And then maybe some of the needs that you have. And maybe the ways that you have seen God and the way that God has shown himself to you. When you see that sunset, or when you see that sunrise, or when you see that rainbow, or when you're praying to God that this person gets healed, or when you're looking at your brand new newborn baby for the first time. And when you're praying for safety, and when you're praying for healing, and when you're praying for the needs of others, and all these names begin to shift and change because you see the attributes of who God is in your life. And there are two key names I want us to see today, this morning. The truth about Christmas. What was the two names that he would love for you to know? The first one comes in Matthew 121. As we further go down, let me just get us up to speed. This is how, verse 18, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit, and Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. The past 2 weeks, we've shared this, the story between Mary and then also the story of Joseph last week. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And Joseph, son of David, the angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit." And she, verse 21 is what I want you to see. "And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus." Yeshua, the Hebrew name for Jesus Christ. And what was the purpose? Why the name Yeshua? Why the name of Jesus Christ? For it tells us, as we look on, "For he will save his people from their sins." When you study and you go through the Hebrew using these four unutterably letters, Yod-Hev. When you use Yod-Hev, when we translate it to Jehovah's, it means to deliver us. It means to save us. That's what Jesus means, Yeshua. Yod-Hev. Jesus came not to only just to redeem Israel, but he also came to redeem and to save and to deliver the Gentiles, the Jews, and everyone in the world. Everyone in the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe it in him, what? Will have everlasting life. Church, do you remember the first time this name, Jehovah, was used? In Exodus 3:14, God replied to Moses, "I am who I am," says this to the people of Israel. "I am has sent me to you." When the voice spoke out of this burning bush and talking to Moses, it was on the backside of this desert, and Yod-Heh, Vod-Heh, literally spoke from out of the bush. And what did he say to Moses was going to happen? "I'm going to save. I'm going to deliver the people from bondage." From where? From Egypt. Yod-Heh, Vod-Heh was coming to save and to deliver the people from Egypt. Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the great I am, is coming to be the great Savior, the great Deliverer, the great Redeemer. And we stop at John 3:16. And by the way, I love John 3:16. It's one of the most popular verses in the world, but so often we forget that you need to add 17 to it, because 17 changes everything as well. Watch this. "For God did not send his Son into the world to" what? "Condemn the world, but to save and to deliver and to redeem the world through him." That's the power. That's why he came. That's why his name is Yeshua. We need a deliverer. We need a redeemer each and every day in our life. In 1989, when I was in my rebellion, when I was lost, when I was going astray, when I was not thinking about God or thinking about anything to do with God, I needed Yeshua. I needed a great deliverer. I needed a redeemer in my life. I needed someone to come into my life. My parents couldn't fix it. My family couldn't fix it. My grandparents couldn't fix it. No amount of money could fix it. There was nothing that could change my heart and my condition of where I was in my life, and there never would have been. Until I heard the name of Jesus Christ, and so often I heard about Jesus all growing up. I prayed to Jesus all growing up. I still remember being in the game room before I'd ask my parents if someone could spend the night or before I could have something, going behind this deal and just sitting here and praying behind this bar of all things and praying for a miracle. I always had a respect for God. I just never knew him. I didn't know that it was Jesus that was the actual way to get to God. And I believe there's so many people that have a respect for God and respect who He is, but so often we forget that it needs to come through that of the birth, through the deliverer, the great Redeemer and Savior of our Lord Jesus Christ, through Jesus, so that I, when God and Jesus were looking at each other and smiling and say, you go down there for Troy. This is what he needs. This is what he needs right now. The literally, the Yohev, Vadhev, translated from Hebrew, I am that I am. I am the great I am. Who said these words out of the burning bush? It was Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ with the audible voice that was speaking. We can say that because he is the great I am. He was the one that was walking in the garden when rebellion was going on and everybody was hiding. It was that of Jesus Christ from the foundation of the earth that was walking. It was that of the voice of God. It was all of Jesus Christ. He said, I've got to come down to this earth and save the world. It was Jesus himself that used the words on several occasions, and that's why I can say this with all certainty, that he was the I am, because he claimed it. He attested to his deity that he was Jehovah, that he was Yahweh, that he was the Yod-Heh, Vod-Heh, that he was Yeshua. And as Jonah read our verse of the week, Philippians 2, 9 through 11, it says, therefore God exalted who? Jesus. Exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that every name of Jesus will, every knee will bow, and heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. All of the people that want to go through all the other religions and go through all the different mediums and go through all the different things that are out there, all the isms and asms and psychologies and new age movements and all these things, it's not going to get you where you need to go. It's never going to complete you. It's never going to fill you. It's only that of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells within you that could actually change your life. That's it. There's nothing else out there. And you may say, well, what about this and what about this? How is it working out for you? I've tried a lot. And I'm not saying that you're going to have a perfect life when you have God in your life and you have the Holy Spirit, but I will tell you, I will take that to the grave. I would rather have Jesus Christ and have pain, because he says, your world is not going to be perfect when you receive me. In this world, you will have trouble. Take heart, but I have overcome the world. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings, but in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. For I have been crucified with Christ, and it's I who no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live in faith by the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Amen and amen. Amen. He is the great I am. And how do I know it? Because he said it seven times. And in a Jewish gematria, the numerology of completion, that there is nothing better. He says it seven times, so you don't underestimate the power of who he is from the beginning. He says it right now seven times in John 4:26, 6:20, 8:24, 8:28, 8:58, 13:19, and 18:5. When I count those great I ams, it's seven times. So he's unmatched. He's unique to us. And what I love about him and how unique and how amazing he is. And this is why I fell in love with Jesus Christ. And I hope why you fall in love with Jesus Christ too, is because of his care for us, his mercy and his grace, the fact that he wants to have a relationship with us each and every day. You can't have that with any other false gods out there. You can't have that with statues. You can't have that with money. You can't have that with anything else. It's only the power of God that you can have this way. And I love when he's feeding the 5,000 because he loves them. He says, I am the bread of life. And when he was down there and he was healing somebody, he was healing the blind and he was healing the sick, and the people are staring around in the pools hoping and praying for a miracle. And he says, I am the light of the world. And when people are looking for hope and they're wondering, do I follow this or do I follow that? And he says, he's the only way to eternal life. I am the door. Come through me. I will open up the door because I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone ever should want to come in, I will come and let him come in and sup with me and I with him. Revelation. What an invitation. What an invitation that you got the great I am that's willing to open the door for every single one of us. You say, well, I can't walk through that door because I'm not good enough and I don't smell good enough and I don't have this and I don't know that. And you don't understand it because I've lived this way and I've done this and I've done that. And Jesus says, yeah, let's come on in and let's talk about it. He doesn't keep you out there and say, okay, well, we'll deal with all that later. You can't deal with all that. You'll be out there forever in the cold. You got to come in. He says, come in and you sup with me. We'll deal with all that. That's going to take a while to change all that. By the way, you may never get it fixed. I'm still working on Troy. It's been since 1989. He's still using the same excuse. I didn't ask to be born. Jesus is a loving shepherd that loves his sheep, for he says, I am the good shepherd. I need a shepherd in my life. What about you? Do you need a good shepherd in your life right now? Do you need someone to help direct and lead you? Do you need someone to help spiritually feed you? Do you need someone to protect you? Will you have peace and comfort? Do you need someone like a shepherd that when you have gone astray or when you do go astray, that he will leave the 99 behind and go find you because he loves you that much? I need a good shepherd in my life every day. And Jesus shows his true deity that he is, and no one else has claimed this, and this is what put him on the cross. I am the resurrection and the life. Prophecy said that he would die and he would resurrect from the dead. And he did. We'll talk more about that next time we're here for Easter. But I will tell you, every Easter and every Christmas, there's something very important that every person must reconcile when you're dealing with a loving God and the great I ams and those things. And here it is. This got him almost stoned. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the only way, the complete truth. And I am not only abundant life, but I am everlasting life. If you want to have that, no one comes to the Father, Troy, except through me. You can respect me all you want. There's going to be all these people that will say things from their tongues, but if they don't confess that I am their Lord and their Savior, and do they not believe in their hearts? You do not go to the Father except through that. And there will be so many people, whether you're an Oprah fan or a prosperity preacher fan or whatever, I don't care what they promise you. If you give $150 and touch the screen, don't believe it. Only believe when he says he is the only way, because there's not many other ways. That gate is very few people go through. It would be heresy if they say it any other way. I love the words in John 6:51. Watch this. It says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. You remember them smiling at each other? Which came down from heaven. He says, I chose to be born. I chose to die for you. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. John 6:51. John 8:23, he said to them, you are from beneath and I am from above. You are of this world, but I am not of this world. And where you are going when you receive me is not of this world. No eye has seen, no ears can hear, no mind can even conceive what God has in store for those who are in Christ Jesus. In John 8:58, Jesus said to them, but most assuredly, with complete confidence, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. The truth about Christmas. Over and over, the identity of Jesus was pronounced to everyone, that Jesus was Jehovah God. He was God in the flesh, and he made his dwelling among the world. I ask the question all the time, do you think it'd be easier to believe then, or do you think it's easier to believe now? It's a tough one. In my discipleship group, you know what? It split in half. Some people said, I think it would have been easier to believe then, watching him and dwelling. And some was like, I don't know. I might have been like everybody else and say, show me a miracle. Show me a sign. I don't know if I can actually trust in that. I know that Old Testament prophecy said that the day would come where Jesus Christ would be born of a virgin and would come the way that he did. But I don't know if I can do that. There were some pretty important people that were having a little bit of trouble with this. And there's some pretty important people, which means all of us, that still sometimes have a little bit of trouble with this. And we struggle with knowing that Jesus Christ walked among the world, yet without sin. The Jewish rabbis, when they were teaching in the synagogues, and the Jewish rabbis today, something interesting about their teaching, though, about the word, the great I am. They believe that our whole entire existence comes literally from the name I am. How they teach and what they teach literally comes from the actual, our whole entire existence of everything that we are comes from the actual words that means all of our I ams comes from his one I am. Your personality, your identity, your DNA, your everything. Have you ever said this? I am feeling good. I am feeling sad. I'm feeling excited. I'm feeling happy. I am whatever. The next time you say that, this is what the Jewish rabbis believe, is that you are saying what everything that God is. Why? Because we come from the great I am. In church, as I close, I would like to share with you the second name and prophecy that was actually fulfilled. If you'll look at verse 1:22, this will not be up on 22, but it says, and this is important, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his what? Prophet. And verse 23, the second name that was given, says this. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God with us. I love this name. I loved hearing it being sung. Didn't your heart melt when these kids were singing this? Isn't it awesome that our children can already learn one of the great names that was prophesied 700 years before about Jesus Christ, that he is the Emmanuel, that God is with us? I mean, for Sal to pick this song to make sure that the kids knew this and for all of us knew this, that when you come in and you worship, that we need to remember that God is with each and every single one of us, no matter what. He's with you. Over 800 Old Testament prophecies, 200 in New Testament, 1,000 prophecies. And Isaiah 7:14 says, 700 years before this, therefore the Lord himself will give you a son. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That's Isaiah. That's from the Old Testament. Doesn't that sound familiar, what I just read a second ago? That's pretty cool, church. And did you know that the word Emmanuel is only mentioned 3 times in all of the Bible? Isaiah 7:14, Old Testament prophet. Isaiah 8:8, just to make sure that you remember that. And then Matthew 1:23 that we just fulfilled. Emmanuel. 2 Old Testament prophecies to let you know the completion in Matthew. Pretty amazing. But when you translate these Hebrew words, I want everybody to say, yum. That was terrible. And it's not yum, whoever said yum. Yum. Anu. El. Yum. Anu. El. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with you. He wants to dwell with you in your home life, in your marriage, with your children, in your trust, at your schools, in the service, tonight, when you're at the workplace and when you're in your neighborhood. He wants you to know, Emmanuel, that God is with you everywhere you go. It was prophesied that it would happen, and it's still here today that we are still living out the book of Acts each and every day in our lives, and you need to understand and never forget, Emmanuel, that God is with us. It brings comfort. It's supposed to bring comfort to you each and every day. You remember the story of Mary and Joseph for Christmas? I'm not going to sing it. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? And Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? And did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child you have delivered will soon deliver you. That's good. I like that part. This is better. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you, Lord, so much that we can come and praise you, and we can come before you and tell you that you are our great I am, that you are our Emmanuel, and we are so grateful that, God, that you are always with us each and every single day of our life, no matter where we are, no matter where we go, no matter what we do, that we can claim you as the great I am, the Yeshua. Thank you so much for delivering us, for redeeming us. Thank you so much that as you and your Father were looking at each other and realized that the only way that this could happen, the only way that this perfect plan could happen for us to be able to have this perfect, unbelievable relationship with you is that, God, that you had to come and be born and to live and to die and to resurrect and to leave and to watch over us and to give us the power of the Holy Spirit to dwell with each one of us today. Oh, Father God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will dwell in this place right now. That, God, that there will not be one person that will leave today that has not trusted in you. Father, whatever name that they describe you, whatever attribute you are to each of us, all 950, I pray that you'll accept today, and we thank you for it. Father God, we pray that each one of us will not walk away from here today without giving their life to you. And Father, if they have already surrendered, if they have already confessed, if they have already received you, Lord, thank you so much for that. We want the angels singing today. We want to celebrate you today. Father God, we want to shout it from the mountaintops. We want to go tell everybody over the hills and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.